This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
What goes on down in the engine room of Wall Street really does matter. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. What do we learn from the meme stock craze when newbie investors using trade stocks for free apps took online cues from each other to buy up stocks of downtrodden companies? The retailer GameStop headed that list. Multiple published reports say the head of the Securities and Exchange Commission, Gary Gensler, is set to make a speech today outlining ways to change the plumbing underneath the stock market, partially in response to that meme stock moment. Turns out when you trade stocks for free, there's a flow of middlemen and middlewomen who are paid along the chain of that transaction. To help get a handle on this little understood system the SEC might try to alter, let's turn to the professor, Eric Gordon, at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business. Hi, Eric.
Hello, David.
The general thrust seems to be, could we make markets more efficient? One of the ideas is this term of art, payment for order flow. How do we explain that?
Payment for order flow is like the magic wand that lets Robinhood and other brokerages let us trade stock for free, for no commissions. I go on my laptop, place an order to buy 100 shares of stock. My broker sells that order to someone else called a wholesaler. It sends it to a company like Citadel, and Citadel pays my broker for my order, and then my broker doesn't charge me a commission.
Benefit is end user small investor doesn't pay a commission, but maybe the question is, are they getting the best price?
That's an important question. If I save $10 on the commission, but get a price that's $15 worse, I'm actually $5 worse off.
In the name of market efficiency, these changes are being contemplated. Who could be against more efficiency?
You're against more efficiency if you're the person who's making money from the inefficiency or from the perceived inefficiency. So in this case, those market wholesalers, and they say they'll be hurt unfairly because they say, while in theory, you might be getting worse prices because your broker deals with them, in reality, they're giving prices that are just as good and sometimes better than you would have gotten without them.
Another thing is these things called ticks. You know, I could offer a stock at $1.16, or maybe I get a better price at $1.15, but the smallest amount of change is 1 cent. Long time ago, it was a 16th of a dollar, 6 1/4 cents was the minimum. They could tweak that with a view to making these things, quote, more efficient?
That's one of Gensler's ideas. He'll let us have a tick size of a fraction of a penny. Gensler thinks, well, you know, if a penny was more efficient, maybe a fraction of a penny is even more efficient.
Eric Gordon, he's a professor at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business. Always good to talk to you.
My pleasure, David.
Dow and S&P futures are down 0.5% each. The 10-year interest rate is above 3% this morning. There's a terrible human cost of Russia's war on Ukraine, and there are economic costs, including high prices around the world, the worst of which could be avoided if governments and central banks take action. That's from a new forecast from the Club of Richer Countries, the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. Our Victoria Craig reports.
The world has already paid a hefty humanitarian and economic price for Russia's war in Ukraine. Russian attacks and tough sanctions have contributed to skyrocketing food and energy prices, with critical goods like grain still stuck in Ukraine and Russia, countries that have long produced a large portion of global supply. Now, the OECD sees global growth slowing by 1.5 percentage points to 3% this year, and it sees inflation reaching as high as 9% in some OECD countries. That's twice what was previously anticipated. But Laurence Boone, the organization's chief economist, says there are reasons to be slightly optimistic.
Global growth of 3% is still very healthy. Employment is high, unemployment rates are low. But it is true that we have inflation higher than expected for a while and more persistent. But we don't expect this pressure to continue rising. So that means we will see inflation decelerating over the course of 2023.
To make that happen, she's calling on governments and central banks to take further action. She said the roadmap is different country to country. In some cases, it's becoming more necessary to remove COVID-era support policies that are continuing to fuel demand and push up prices. In other places, she said the best strategy could be rolling out targeted subsidies to help more vulnerable households cover soaring expenses like energy bills. In London, I'm the BBC's Victoria Craig for Marketplace.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
So many of those back orders that led to empty shelves and higher prices are going away. Target, Walmart, Macy's say they have a new problem now. Too much stuff piling up. And later today, we'll get data on whether the stuff is backing up at wholesalers as well, which would be a sign of sale price discounts to come and that the U.S. economy is coming off the boil. Here's Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino.
Low inventories usually mean strong consumer demand, says Nick Vias, a professor of supply chain management at USC.
Contrary to that, if we start to see inventories being built up because the consumer sentiment is not as strong, then we'll see that bulging up in the wholesale numbers.
Consumers have shifted some spending from goods to services, says Chris Thornburg of Beacon Economics, but it's not a major pullback.
The reason we have inflation is because consumer demand has been pushed way beyond all reasonable levels.
Whether demand is softening, hard to know from one month's inventory numbers, says Phil Levy, chief economist at logistics firm Flexport.
Does that buildup mean that things aren't clearing as fast as you hoped they would? Or does it just simply mean that people wanted bigger precautionary inventories in case it gets hard to move stuff later in the year?
Or are people just done buying TVs and sweatpants now that they're leaving the house? I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.
In New York, I'm David Brancaccio. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.